Okay, yesterday we did the Pledge of Allegiance and you know, got into our topic for the week. I should correct one thing. I think I left you with the marvelous salute and so forth for the Pledge of Allegiance. And of course that did go away with Nazi Germany, and we became, I think it was Roosevelt who got it hand over the heart, and that's the appropriate, unless you're military.
In uniform.
In uniform, and then you salute.
And you don't speak.
Why?
Well, yeah, isn't that
something?
I've never told that.
Well, that's in the code.
Not for mine.
Huh?
Not for mine,
maybe.
No.
She
has public health service.
I
act duty.
Okay, next. Let's see.
You gotta check your
facts,
man.
I wouldn't be saying this if I hadn't checked my facts, and that was listed as a part of the code. The military is silent and salutes.
In uniform.
They've already sworn an oath to the flag, so.
Hey.
Question?
Yes.
How is it, when I was growing up, and even still now, men in my age group, still growing up? Yes, I'm still growing up. Military or not, they always took off their hats when the slide was polluted.
I don't have that material with me, but there was some reference to hats, too. I'm not
that
sure
was in the code, was. Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Non-religious.
So, yeah, any other things that we need to pick up from our discussion yesterday, focusing on the words under God? Other things we need to pick up on that?
I just think it's a good place to be.
Pardon?
I just think it's a good place to be.
Under God, around God, in God.
With
God. Right. Or God with us. I probably want to emphasize that.
Yes,
down in front, please. Okay. So I've only got one more T-shirt that I can show you. So today we're going to talk about butterflies. Liberty.
Liberty.
This is my wife's collection. She's the one that's good at T-shirts around the 4th of July. So.
You wear it well.
Okay.
We're talking about liberty.
Liberty, that's right, yes. We're going to, that was a little liberty right there. We're going to find out some other things about liberty that may call that into question. Ask you to what's your first thought about liberty? What comes to your mind when liberty, and we're actually going to put freedom together. Whenever you have a definition of liberty, you're going to get the word freedom. Whenever a definition of freedom, you're going to get the word liberty. So what comes to your mind?
This Revolutionary War.
Revolutionary War, okay.
Speech. Land of liberty.
Speech.
Land of liberty meaning?
Our country. The country I live in.
Okay.
This country.
Okay, so.
Isn't that in the Declaration of Independence somewhere?
Yeah, okay, all right, okay.
Liberty Bell.
Liberty Bell, okay.
Statue of, statue of.
Right.
Yeah, woman holding a torch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Being able to go where I want to go.
Go wherever you
want to
go.
Ellen Ready.
Pardon?
Ellen Ready.
Striding, it's a type of a gold coin. You'd have to be a collector to pay a lot of money for them, but it looks really cool.
Liberty coin means And it's a striding.
Or she's walking, yeah.
Yeah, and it's liberty.
I'm not thinking of that, what Bill said, but liberty is, if you come over to another country and you say you're from the United States, you do get a lot more different attitude.
Okay. You may not experience liberty in that country, but yes, okay.
Thing crosses my mind is rights that are there so long as no one's taking them away.
Rights as long as someone is.
Not taking them away.
Taking them away, yeah, okay. Would be a little kind of freedom of restraint.
Well, I just wanted to add that we all laugh at that, but we're very aware of the lack of liberty for women in.
Oh, yes.
Many countries.
Oh, yes, including our own.
How about a completely different word, responsibility?
Yes. Whoa! He's going to responsibility!
We thought that was a planted comment.
Planted?
Did you want that comment?
No, I wouldn't want that one. You got me free, man!
I think, everybody has liberty to do as they can, please, as long as they're willing to take the consequences for it.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Accountability, responsibility.
It's a different society.
Anytime you look at a particular concept, you're going to get some rebounds because it's kind of like you get that true light and you follow it to its deep end and you end up screwing up a bunch of other stuff.
Yes.
So, we'll touch on that, and we'll get into that also as we talk about liberty.
I think the comedian Yakov Smirnoff put it really well. He said, everybody in the world has freedom of speech, but in the United States, we have freedom after speech.
Liberty is the freedom to succeed and fail.
That
liberty is the freedom to succeed or fail.
Liberty is the freedom to succeed or fail.
Attempt.
That takes us into some of the dictionary definition stuff that we can go through. Liberty is freedom from arbitrary or despotic government or control. Another term might be independence. Freedom from control, interference, obligation, restriction, hampering conditions. And then on the positive side of it, the power or the right of doing, thinking, speaking according to choice.
Yeah, for choice.
According to choice.
Huh. Doing, thinking.
And then to flash out the word freedom, being free or at liberty, rather than in a in confinement or under physical restraint. The power to determine action without restraint. And there was a little portion in there that also reflected on restraint from within or without. We're going to be dealing with some of that as we look at liberty under God. Remember, where we're going to go is to deal with this liberty in the Pledge of Allegiance. This liberty under God, or under the influence of God, or involved with the stuff of God is the phrase that I would use. The stuff of God affects our understanding of liberty. It was interesting that under this section of liberty in the dictionary, a sentence or a little bit on undue exercise of freedom, and we use the phrase, he took liberties with the text. I'll bring that in because there obviously, and I'm sure we all thought of this, that there are some problems
when we deal with liberty, just liberty all by itself. It's my birthday, I get to do whatever I want.
You're a
liberal. Yeah, you're for that. Okay. Don't go to her place on her birthday. Woo! Okay. What I would like to do, getting into the stuff of God with liberty, is go to the scriptures and have us look up scriptural passages that deal with the concept of freedom or liberty, and then we'll come back and share that together. So what I want, you will need Bibles, and we'll, I want at least two people to work together, to be more, and we'll go through and we'll make sure that that a group of some sort deals with each one of these texts. I want you to go through the text and answer the question, what is the context? What's going on here in which we have this stuff of liberty being somehow expressed? Liberty or freedom? And then the second question, how do the verses that you're looking at fill out our understanding of liberty, freedom under God? So that's the two things in, that you want to talk about. And then I really would like a report back on each one of these. So, for Bibles are around here. I don't know if you all need Bibles, but you at least you need one Bible in whatever group you're in.
Most of us, that writing is illegible from here.
The writing is illegible.
We can't read any of the
words. Can you get a church
I'm going to call out these scripture passages and make sure that we have somebody that's working with chapter 1, 25 to 2:13.
Right here, Dan.
There you go, up here. Okay. 1 Corinthians 8, 7 to 12.
Right here.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 10, 22 to 33. 23 to 33.
Okay, we'll do it.
You got it over here? And then Isaiah 61 over here. Well, that's okay. When we get through all through, if you haven't accepted the assignment, you can pick whatever you want. Galatians 5:13.
Sure.
Over there. There. 1 Peter 2:16. Over there. Galatians 2:4. Over here. Galatians 5:1. There you are. Romans 8:29. Whoa!
Oh,
right here.
And then Second Corinthians 17, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. You want that?
We'll do that.
You got that?
1 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18.
Right. All right, now, if you haven't taken a personal assignment of any one of these, you look up any one of them once. But if you do it with a couple people so you can talk about it. What is the context? What is the context? What does it add to our understanding of the word liberty or freedom under that? Okay, St. James.
What we came up with is that freedom and liberty based upon our own religious beliefs, by our faith, that when we judge someone by their appearance, by outward deeds, that we are infringing upon their freedom, their liberty, and placing them somewhere that they don't necessarily belong. And limiting them in perhaps what their purpose is for God. An example that it gave in James is a man walks into a church and he's clothed nicely, and he is then taken to a seat that is of good quality to sit for service. Then a man that is poorly dressed comes in, and then he is sat in a seat of less purpose than the other man. Therefore, we have judged that those two men, not based upon their soul of their humanity, we have judged them based upon our own personal limitations. And therefore, when we do that, we have then limited that person's place for God's purpose.
So you're speaking of liberty, of the constrained liberty of the other person, which you're getting into. In that James passage, you have reference to the royal law, the law of liberty. What is that?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
The royal law, the law of liberty.
The royal law.
The law of liberty.
Well, one of the statements in it too was that everyone is equal under God, as far as if one man kills somebody and another man kills somebody, they're to be judged the same.
Okay. The real key in that verse has to do with this reference to the royal law, the law of liberty, and that law is to love your neighbor. I love your neighbor.
That's the royal law,
the law of liberty, as we have it in James.
Does it say it's the royal law in James? I mean, where are you getting that? I'm just curious.
Perfect law is what it says. There's also reference to the royal law in that section.
It's a translation.
Which translation?
Yes. You do well if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, and that's all in this section, which is also talking to the law of liberty. So the thing that we're getting into, that portion of scripture, is that liberty has also something to do with how I treat and relate to my neighbor. I think you got to grab a hold of that, out of that portion of scripture. And it's more important when we think of liberty that we also think of our neighbor.
Isn't that come back to what he said over there and also the Corinthians section about who comes with responsibility?
Yeah, we're going to get some more of that. Yes. Okay. 1 Corinthians 8, 7 through 12.
So do we have people read their verses before they do the song and dance?
Good idea.
Okay. Who's got First Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 8? That's a time constraint.
There.
There we go.
Through 11.
7 to 12.
It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. I'm not the spokesperson, but we didn't understand it.
I think it boils down to through our liberties, don't call your neighbor to stone.
Right. When we speak of liberty as Christian people, it's not the right for us to do whatever we please. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. We need to be sensitive to whether our actions are actions which will cause someone else to sin. So they had the eating meat from the idols kind of thing. That was he sacrificed the meat to the idol and they ate it, and that was worshiping that idol. That was a different worship. Well, for the Christian, it doesn't, you know, what's with that? I have nothing to do with that idol. This is the meat that's for sale in the market, and I can eat it. And I know my God, and this meat is doesn't have anything to do with that other God. It's a gift from God. So it's like when I grew up as a preacher's kid and as a pastor,
and there was a sensitivity to drinking alcohol.
My good German background says it's a gift of God. Use it appropriately.
And then we had a lot of pietists.
It's a good term. I just have to remind myself that. Because sometimes we use it as a bad word. But anyway, to drink alcohol was sinful. And so if you got the preacher running around town drinking alcohol, oh man. And the concern was that the alcoholic sees the preacher drinking, and the alcoholic is the one that has the problem with it, and you can lead him further into sin. And so that's the sensitivity that we have in those verses in Corinthians there. My liberty is cautioned by how other people might perceive this. And it's not out of the fact that I understand this is sinful to drink alcohol, but I don't want what I do to create sinful activities in somebody else.
When Jesus turned the water into wine, did he stop first and ask everyone at the party, "You have an alcohol problem?"
Right, and it's. Yeah, and I think you're a great example of it.
This is a brutal.
We put this little chip on our shoulder, and then we walk over and say, okay, I can do it. Why don't you get on ball too, see? If you were free like I am, then you would be all right too. That's the danger. That's a danger, exactly. And in many ways, I think the Christian community does this. We are exempt from the law because we got God, and we can do whatever we want. No. We need to be very sensitive out of love
for our neighbor.
for our neighbor, out of concern for our neighbor. Yeah, exactly. We'll get some more of that. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 to 33.
Right there.
Yeah.
So we'll read first.
There's awful lot. Do you have to read all of it? Can you just a little?
This is the one where it says, I mean, it kind of expounds on the other one. All things are lawful, you know, but it talks about if some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. Conscience it brings in. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it out of consideration for the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I mean the other's conscience, not your own. So it goes on.
Yes.
And about that. So that's where it expounds.
You know, in Corinthians again, and it expounds on that same thing, out of concern.
Right. Not your conscience, but that of the other.
But not making the other person stumble.
That's right.
Don't I say being respectful? Being respectful of
it? Yeah, in other words, same thing. Yeah. Okay, Galatians 5:13.
Isaiah, this is the Spirit of God is upon me, and then he sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners. And then Jesus quotes that in Luke.
Luke 4.
Yeah, Luke 4. So Jesus says, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He doesn't use liberty, but he says, sent me to release the captives, recover, and then he adds, recover the sight of the blind, and to let the oppressed go free.
Okay. Setting people free.
Oppressed people free.
Pardon?
Setting oppressed people free.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, yeah. And you know, somewhere in all this, there begins a reflection on what is what oppresses people. Sword and knuckles on the wrists, or some bully doing something.
Power. Or the Pharisees.
But then there's also the inner things that repress and constrain and hobble us. And so there's something about our God, and then certainly we see this again with the quote from Luke, Jesus coming to set free from all that would constrain. And here now we're into the stuff of God again. And very powerful kind of stuff. One question that I want to just kind of lay out there, and maybe we'll deal with it today, or at least I want you to think about it. And that is, if the stuff of God, the Spirit of God, the love of God, the power of God, is a part of our lives, and we are now in the world, are we a part of this process to set people free?
Of course.
I'm not sure people live that way.
Well, for example, we have been setting people free. The disabled, their ramps, so they can get to where they can go because they're oppressed if they're not allowed in the community. Sexual preferences, they were oppressed, hopefully not here, still are. And probably the greatest group being oppressed are the mentally ill. And that door is barely open, but it's opening.
My gut feeling is that even as Christian people, and certainly in our society, freedom is something that other people can have if they want it. And I don't know whether I have the responsibility to help them to be free.
Somebody has to build the ramp for the...
I understand that. But I mean, in terms of how we function as individuals, as people, I think I'm right when I read us as a society and as individuals. We function under the concept that human beings have, they can be free if they want to, but is it my responsibility? No. I mean, we're getting into stuff here that says yes. But I'm not sure we live that out very well.
One person?
73% of the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Can you give us an example of how you're perceiving this, per se, if possible?
Well, in some sense, with the choir here, I think we are more motivated than a lot of people to function in that way. But you certainly don't
see a lot of headlines of human beings doing things which set people free, particularly prisoners, people who have sinned.
They've done it wrong, and they got to pay the price.
And they can never be forgiven.
I think there's a lot of that in our society, and sometimes even in our Christian community, our Christian society. We really put them through the punishment, we're not all that ready to forgive. Particularly if they did it against us, and so, yes?
I think there's two areas. One is in racism. I think we're extremely, have not gotten very far, even though supposedly we have. And the other one is women, and the freedoms of women. I think men still expect their dinners on time and in the households. I don't think there's been a lot of changes.
Well, our house changed.
If I carry it to extremes, my concern for your sensibilities can oppress me. I can feel oppressed by fretting over being ultra sensitive to how whatever I say or do might offend you.
It's a balance. Right. Isn't that one of the tricks of life?
Yes.
How do you sense when it's appropriate that I say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't with my freedom? Do you understand that? And when my freedom just walks in, you walk in.
Well, when you first brought up this subject, I was thinking more globally, like our government freeing other people, other countries, and what is our responsibility to free people, using our military power, and maybe they don't want that, because you said freeing people that want to be free.
How does my freedom and interest in your freedom end up killing your people along the way? This, when we speak of freedom within the context of the stuff of God, it's going to take us into a lot of hard places. Bonhoeffer. he'll really take in all that stuff. And frankly, he makes a decision I disagree with. I don't think he should have participated in an attempt to kill Hitler. So we're going to have those kinds of discussions along the way also.
Sure.
And one of our problems as human beings is we're human beings. We're not God. We're not all-knowing. We are not all-merciful. We just screwed up. And isn't it, though, in our relationship, we're back to the second free again, it's in our relationship with God that we are set free from screwing up. Yeah, so, free to do what? Live as free people. People who know what liberty is all about with the law of liberty. Okay. we got Isaiah. Galatians 5:13. Okay. All right. Well, no. For for your call to freedom, brothers, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. You're going to follow some cause, some directive. And so when we talk of freedom, we talk of freedom to serve one another. I don't think we get into that when we just quote or say the Pledge of Allegiance. As Christian people, I think we have.
I think it also alludes to you cannot have freedom without social responsibility.
Right.
And you cannot, because it's, you know, if you are thinking only of your freedom, then your freedom becomes someone else's oppression.
Mm-hmm. Could the verse you just read goes even further? It says become slaves. So it's not just
right.
It's not just social responsibility. It's actually being
an obligation,
a servant to your neighbor, a slave to your neighbor.
Right, right. We are out of time. So where I think that also takes us to this reality that God has created each one of us as particular beings with gifts, opportunities, you know, whatever else. A place in life that only we will experience, and what God asks us to do is to use who and what we are as a blessing for others. Through Jesus, we are set free to be able to do that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's where I think we have to go. Okay. Will Bonhoeffer finish off the day? The man who surrenders freedom surrenders his very nature as a Christian. Christ offers us freedom from the power of sin. This freedom motivates us to live in conformity with God's will and purpose. But his gift of freedom never allows us to do our own thing. We might think that freedom has to do with being able to do what we want, but this is actually being trapped in our own wanting and willing. Christ's gift of freedom takes us beyond the limits of our own selfishness and into the realm of God's greater good. And when doing the greater good arises out of true thankfulness rather than compulsion or guilt, then we are free indeed. With that, keep with you, to be free to do what Christ asks of us is to do the greater good. Tomorrow we'll talk about justice. Yes, just us.